time now for another round of Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities research and scholarship and events on and around UNC campus. And for that, we are joined by the director of Carolina Public Humanities, Dr. Max Orr. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Did you miss me, Aaron?
It's been forever.
It's been a long time. Yeah. My colleagues, Rachel Shavitz and Lloyd Kramer, have been reporting on all sorts of great things that we've done, including our big Adam Symposium,
yes,
which I will say was an incredible success. We had Jeremy Waldron come down, and we survived a very, very busy weekend. I also just want to, not to point out too much of a down note, but we lost two dear colleagues at the college recently. Jonathan Hess, the director of Germanic Studies, Germanic and Slavic Languages, those departments were combined. He was a dear friend of the program, especially in his capacity as the director for the Center for Jewish Studies for 10 years. And we did a lot of work together, putting together a seminar once a year, and just a delightful person who was taken from us far too soon. And in the history department, a colleague of ours, Dr. Michael Hunt, who also worked with us extensively over the years at Carolina Public Humanities, passed suddenly last week. So we carried through the Adam Symposium on the weekend of April 13th with a heavy heart, but we remember them fondly, and the College of Arts and Sciences lost two big stars, but we will be honoring them throughout this year. So. Yep. I just put that forward for Michael and Jonathan, and now turn to much happier news,
yes,
because someone who was very good at talking about the human condition was an author who lived about 200 years, well, died about 201 years ago, an author, Jane Austen. I bring with me two guests who are the directors of the Jane Austen Summer Program. They are James Thompson and Inga Brody, both professors of English in the English department. And the Jane Austen Summer Program, we started together 5 years ago. We were part of that very first effort, and it has now blossomed and grown into an independent and fully functioning and very successful program. So, James and Inga, welcome. Let's
talk
about the Jane Austen Summer Program.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you for having us. I thought you were going to mention Carl Castle as...
Oh, yes, Carl Castle, yeah, of course. This is not public radio, but we all miss Carl Castle.
Yes,
and his connection,
yes,
of course, to broadcasting in North Carolina, mm-hmm, is legacy looms large, I'm sure, in this state. So,
yep,
of course, Carl, we're thinking of you as well. So
tell us about the Jane Austen Summer Program. It's one of the really cool things about just this whole segment on the air is the opportunity to talk about events and happenings that are happening on and around campus that are huge, and people don't know that they're going on. Max was telling me about the Jane Austen program, and I know we've talked about it a little bit on the air before, but just how significant it is. It's really cool.
Well, we started it about 6 years ago, and I think it's pretty unusual in the way it combines the people in the academy with people from all sorts, all walks of life, and all ages. Last year, actually, we had attendees ranging from age 11 to 81, and we've been selling out, so this is our sixth year, and this year is on both Northanger Abbey and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. We're expanding a little beyond Jane Austen because it's the bicentenary of the publication of both of those novels.
Awesome. So what is sort of the overarching, you know, approach for the Jane Austen Summer Program? It's Jane Austen and, right? So what is the overarching kind of, what do you encompass?
Well, our goal is to stimulate high-level discussion about a favorite author each summer, one of her novels, a high-level discussion that is jargon-free, is accessible to anyone, a conversation with professionals, with ordinary readers, people off the street who love Austen. We got the inspiration from the Dickens universe,
mm-hmm,
which is a program that is somewhere around in its 35th year at the University of California at Santa Cruz. We read about it in the New Yorker and then went out there six summers ago, and it was really inspirational to see such a homogeneous mixture of undergraduates, graduate students, professionals, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and so on, all thinking hard about a single great book. In that case, it was Dickens' masterpiece, Bleak House. Too often, we talk in ways that are inaccessible
mm-hmm.
Or patronizing to the general public, and we've been trying to avoid that.
This whole Jane Austen summer program is stripped of T-I-O-N words. No.
Well, not quite.
Not quite.
We also involve our grad students in fun ways. So they have put on every year one of Jane Austen's teenage writings. One of her usually turned into a play by one of our grad students. Nice.
This is a Juvenilia that mm-hmm. you had given such a great talk on some of that just this fall at another one of our seminars.
Yeah.
So that's been really fun. People really enjoy that. And then we also have our, another unusual thing is that we have breakout sessions, and those are run by a pair of, usually a faculty member from either UNC or from another university mm-hmm. and a grad student. And then each participant, when they arrive, is assigned to a small group discussion. So after every one of the big plenary sessions, they divide up into groups and discuss it. So everyone gets a chance to talk a lot, and our audience tends to really, really like that.
That's really cool. So how does it, walk us through the whole, because it's a four-day event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people are participating? Where do they come from? Maybe are they local? Are they coming from all over? How does it, what is the experience of going through
it? Maybe we can include the dates in there as well
for
this year.
June 14, 15, 16, 17 are the four dates, yeah.
Last year we had just about 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fit any more into the facility that we use, and we don't really want to get any bigger.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Inga just brought up is that unlike academic conferences, most people, well, including academic conferences, most people don't like to be talked at all
mm-hmm.
day long. It gets really dull after a while. And we adapted a format from the Dickens universe where everybody gets a chance to talk. The presentations are a starting off point for conversation, and they are rarely, we found that our registries don't like people reading from a printed paper.
Yeah,
they
of course,
like
yeah.
to.
I've
be
been to
talking.
Enough conferences. Yeah,
yeah.
They like to believe that there are sentient people in the room, and they've come for a give and take, not monotonous listening to conferences, listening to conference papers. So there's lots of breakout sessions, and there's lots of entertainment.
Yeah, well, there's lots of, I like to think of it as a lot of hands-on learning. And one of the things that we really try to do is make the historical period come alive. So we tend to have like something on Regency fashion history or usually have something like that every year. Last year we had a fantastic speaker on penmanship and ink and letter writing. And this year we have some people talking about the history of the Gothic in masquerades and also in fashion as well. And another feature that I think is pretty unusual are the little the exhibits we have. They're student curated. We have them at both the Wilson Library with rare manuscripts and then also at the Ackland Museum. And we also develop these thing called, we call our context corners, which are they're done by our grad students and some former grad students, and they're limited to 10 minutes, and they're a brief presentation on some aspect of the history. Like this year, what do we have? We have somebody talking about the Sublime, somebody talking about child rearing and childbirth, somebody talking about the dangers of reading novels at the period and things like that.
That's awesome.
So they just have a 10-minute presentation with visuals and a handout of questions so that the people who come can take back the handout and take back the passages, ideas, and then they can either use them in their discussion group right afterwards, or they can take it home and use them in their book groups.
Or perhaps if their teachers use it in their classrooms.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things that I think, I don't know if you're doing it this year, but we've also had some dances as well. I've seen some period dress and some of that actual Regency-style dancing going on, which is just the idea that the learning is experiential as well as, in this case, kinesthetic, right? People actually moving in the...
Was that pre-planned, or did people just get so excited about...
They just break into spontaneous dance.
Well, actually, the Dickens universe had a dance as well, so I think that was part of our inspiration, but we've had some wonderful experts help us with that, and we've had a ball every year. This year, the twist is that it's going to be a masquerade ball.
Nice. So I'm wondering about what Frankenstein is going to do to the Jane Austen summer program. It must open up all sorts of topics that you don't get a chance to really jump into with Jane Austen. Can you elaborate on what Mary Shelley is bringing to this?
Well, one of the sessions we always have is a film panel, and we show at least two films based on the novels. And there's such a rich filmic history of Frankenstein, of horror films, of the afterlife of the Gothic. On that level, Austen and Mary Shelley fit together really, really well. They're both women. Writers thinking about monstrosity and terror and the historical moment. So as
one of them
novels,
making more fun of it than the other.
They don't look very similar, but they have very similar preoccupations.
This gives you an opportunity to do the Jane Austen and Zombies book, you know, or what?
We're not going there this time, but we have Lloyd Kramer is coming in. You're Lloyd Kramer.
Yes, our Lloyd Kramer.
To talk about the French Revolution, because I think we view them both novels as being responses to the French Revolution. And they're also both, even though Notre-Dame was published so late for Austen, they're both first novels, really, of these, arguably first novels of these two important writers.
We spend at least half of the sessions are on context issues, on the historical context. The obviously, the Gothic novel is a reaction to in certain ways, a representation of the Reign of Terror, the French Revolution. But we always have some presentation dealing with medical issues, dealing with legal issues.
Pugs, in one case.
Pugs, because they appear prominently in Mansfield Park. The discussions are not about themes and metaphors and aesthetic concerns so much as what are the legal conditions for inheritance and so on and so forth.
And we have something exciting this year too. This year we have two authors coming that have some connection to this theme. So we have our own former graduate student Ted Scheinman, who just published a book called Camp Austen, The Accidental Superfan, or My Life as an Accidental Jane Austen Superfan.
I've heard of that, yeah.
So he's, and the story is about his time at JASP, so at our Jane Austen summer program.
Oh,
so
awesome.
He's coming, he's giving a little talk and a book signing, and we also have John Kessel, who teaches at NC State, and he just wrote a book called Pride and Prometheus.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Oh, that's perfect.
It really does marry these ideas together,
which brings Austen and Shelley together in one novel. And he picks Mary Bennett instead of Catherine Morland.
Okay.
But so he's coming as well for a little talk and a book signing. So we think that's pretty fun that we have both of them coming. There's also a pub crawl.
That's where, oh, well, you buried the lead there. You should have talked about that at the outset. Come on. So, okay, so we got to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes, but JaneAustinSummer.org is the website if you want more information about the Jane Austen Summer Program. Again, JaneAustinSummer.org, June 14th through the 17th on campus. Does everyone live together, eat together for the 4 days, or do people go their separate ways? How does it...
I don't know what you're implying about living together. We don't have a commune.
Yeah.
Most of the out-of-towners stay at the conference hotel.
Hampton Inn. Yeah. Okay.
No but prisoners have been kept throughout the year.
So we do open with a banquet and serve 11s and we have breakfast and things like that. But the whole full schedule is on that website.
Awesome. So anything else that people need to know about the program?
Yeah, how is it? Will it sell out again and signing
it
up quickly?
Yeah, I think we have a few. I think I don't remember what we said for the closing date for signing up, but we only have a few weeks left.
Great. Awesome. We're announcing loud and proud here at Carolina Public Humanities.
Again, JaneAustinSummer.org is the website. June 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th on campus and around campus because Chapel Hill, Carrboro, it's going on at a bunch of different places. So head there and get more information. Humanities.unc.edu, as always, for more information on Carolina Public Humanities. Max, upcoming events that people want to know about?
We're finishing up our spring semester. Yeah. We have one more talk with Mike Munger tomorrow about the sharing economy at Flyleaf Books. One dialogue seminar this weekend coming up on Paris, and then one talk on Germany during World War II with Gerhard Weinberg and Karen Hageman, and that finishes up our, that's in May, the first weekend of May, and that finishes up our spring semester, but we can talk in May about what we have coming up for the summer.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Max, if you'll have us back.
Of course. Max Orr, James Thompson, Inga Brody, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Ryan.